When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
All right, welcome to another podcast at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers. Also want to thank some of our other great sponsors like S&R Remodeling, AMS, and Madison Computer Works. Joining me now, Mitch Bry. He's with Repower Madison. They're a watchdog group that's been keeping an eye on MG&E. There's a forum coming up and all sorts of stuff in the news. But the Isthmus piece for MG&E was absolutely devastating, Mitch.
Sly. Well, thanks for having me on. That article in the Isthmus, which took a look at the energy report card we put out, was quite a great article. It's available online yet, but it, you know, examined the report card that Repower Madison developed, looking back over the year on Madison Gas and Electric to see what MG&E has done compared to what they've promised to do, and also compared to some of the other utilities in the state. And, well, overall, it doesn't come across very, very positively.
Lowest customer satisfaction and highest rates. I wouldn't say that's good.
No, and it's not real easy to maintain a business like that when you've got unhappy customers unless you have big
corporate government in Wisconsin and a monopoly.
Well, and that's what's holding them together. They've got this monopoly status. But yeah, we gave them a D for our customer satisfaction. That was based also on the J.D. Power customer satisfaction survey that looks at all the utilities. All the major utilities, and, well, MG&E had the lowest customer satisfaction score in the state.
How did this all happen?
Well, Repower Madison formed about 2.5 years ago after MG&E put forward this proposal that would have increased the amount that you pay on your energy bill before you use any electricity or gas. So that's the fixed fee, mandatory fixed fee you pay no matter what. So they wanted to double that, and actually they wanted to raise it up to $70 a month after a few years. We organized against that, and a lot of the proposal got drawn back, but it did end up doubling. So now you're paying $42 a month if you've got electricity and gas from MG&E, again, before you use any of that service. And that reduces the incentives for efficiency. It harms low-income people. It really removes the control you have over the size of your bill. So we've kind of been a watchdog on MG&E ever since then. We have gotten them to respond and do some positive things. They set a goal for 30% renewable energy by 2030, for example. But they haven't actually moved on very much of that. So we kept track and compiled all that in this energy report card.
So Gary Walter, their CEO, is stepping down. Do you think that's a good sign, a bad sign?
I think it's probably a good thing. You know, he's served a long time as a CEO. And it's, you know, time he's just decided it's time to retire. He's invested in a lot of coal over that time. And the new CEO, you know, can't go back in time and change that. But the new CEO is Jeffrey Keebler. And he's going to face this decision about what to do over his term as CEO, which will probably go out, you know, 10, 15 years or more. He's a pretty young guy. So we'd like to see him come out and sort of immediately announce that he intends to make Madison a national leader in clean energy with fair and affordable bills. Very important that all those things go together. And really, you know, show that he supports the vision of 100% renewable energy.
Is that doable?
Absolutely. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some planning. But we have the technology. And to do it, and the storage technology is improving tremendously, which is going to be an important piece. so that, you know, so that we can go from, right now we're at 10-15% renewable energy. We can very quickly scale that up to 30-50% just by installing more solar panels, more windmills, more cow power. And what we're going to need to really complete the puzzle is the storage. And the advances on that are happening so rapidly that we ought to just start moving to 100%, because by the time we get near it, the battery and storage components will be ready.
Rich Bry with us, Repower Madison. They've got an event coming up on Monday the 20th. That's this coming Monday at the Madison Central Library, third floor. What's going to be going on there? I know you're sending belated Valentines to the new CEO.
So we're really hoping to see a great crowd on Monday night. Central Library in Madison. Forum starts at 6 o'clock. We're hoping people come at 6:30. We're going to have some great snacks and networking and socializing. The forum will present some information on what the City of Madison and Dane County have been doing on clean energy, as well as what the utilities have been doing. And the whole forum is, you know, based around love. It's Madison and clean energy, a local love story. So after presentations, folks who are there will have a chance to fill out a Valentine's Day card. We'll get that in the mail, a little belated, but who doesn't love to get, you know, hearts in the mail any day of the week? And, you know, just to show that there is a lot of strong community support and, you know, get that message out there.
How concerned are you about this incoming administration? I read one of the great alders on our city council, Rebecca Kemble, who, of course, was viciously arrested out of the demonstration in North Dakota. She is not optimistic because of the Trump administration coming in. She thinks they're going to thwart Madison's efforts to be a clean energy leader.
You know what? There are a lot of questions more maybe now than even when, you know, before the administration came into office. And so it's going to be a bumpy road. I don't think anyone can really predict what's going to happen in D.C. But I will say that I think the clearest path forward on renewable energy is at the local level, especially in Wisconsin, where the state government isn't very supportive either. Which is something that we hope will change.
Well, I was going to say, how much is Scott Walker and the people that he's appointed to the Public Service Commission responsible for MG&E going down in ratings with customer satisfaction and with cooperation on clean energy and the rates they're charging? How much is that directly responsible due to deregulation?
Yeah, well, the regulators at the Public Service Commission, they set the rates that you pay on your energy bill. So they have a lot of responsibility that MG&E has the highest electric rates in the state. But MG&E plays a big part in that, too, because all the investor-owned utilities go through the Public Service Commission, the PSC, and somehow MG&E ended up being the one with the highest rates. But the regulators, they're very powerful, and they have sort of slowed down some of the things MG&E has tried to do. MG&E has a community solar project they just opened up, and that wasn't treated very well by the regulators at the PSC. And so, you know, the commissioners decided to treat the cost of that project in a way that doesn't really encourage MG&E to do more in the future. So we do want to make sure that renewable energy is treated by the regulators at least as fairly as energy would be that's coming from burning fossil fuels, if not even encouraged, since it doesn't produce pollution like coal does.
What are some of the things MG&E's doing that give the illusion that they're being proactive and progressive but in fact, it's nothing more than a token gesture.
Well, MG&E spent about a year telling the community that they would organize a community energy partnership. This was after the community gave some pushback to that fixed fee proposal. So in 2015, MG&E launched these community energy conversations and promised that at the end of it, they would form a community energy partnership to give citizens more input into energy planning. And, you know, so people said, okay, great. We'll give MG&E some credit. Let's do this. And MG&E ultimately just dropped that whole idea. I think they eventually thought, oh my God, what if my neighbor has some say into what happens at the utility? You know, it should really be all up to the shareholders and the executives. We don't want regular citizens to have input. And I think that sort of freaked them out, and they just dropped the whole idea without ever giving any explanation, really.
You know, there's a quote in the piece that you wrote, your op-ed piece in the Capital Times, and it says, "Our community's energy future should not be measured by shareholder dividends. We need a system that values our community's well-being. Until such regulation is restored, Repower Madison will call on MG&E to serve the public interest and will ask others to join us." Now, you know what they're going to say. They're going to say that they have a legally binding fiduciary responsibility to put their shareholders first. This is a problem with healthcare. You know, when insurance companies demutualized, Wall Street began calling some of the shots, and less of the money went for healthcare and more of the money went for dividends. This is kind of the love story of capitalism, Mitch.
You know, monopolies make things really interesting. When you combine that with monopolies and capitalism, throw some democracy in there, you get these interesting tales. So MG&E very well can point out that they have a responsibility, a legal fiduciary responsibility, to maximize shareholder profits. I understand that. There is something they can do to actually align shareholder benefit with community well-being, and that would be to become a benefit corporation, a certified benefit corporation. These are often called B-Corps. And what this would do is it would go in front of the shareholders. So we'd like MG&E to discuss that, this idea, at their annual shareholder meeting, which will be occurring in May. Introduce the idea, which is to change the definition of shareholder value from simply dollars and cents into something that encompasses community well-being as well as the profit that the company is making. This would allow the CEO and other executives to make decisions that might have more long-term benefits to the community than a quick buck.
If we ever got a real government in Wisconsin, could they be forced to incorporate this way?
Well, we have some variety in how utilities work in Wisconsin. We have investor-owned utilities like MG&E, We Energies, the Big Five, Alliant Energy, Xcel, and WPS. Then we also have municipal utilities, which a lot of towns have. Sun Prairie, for example, runs their own utility. It's Sun Prairie Utilities. Manitowoc Public Utilities, Reedsburg has a great public utility for electricity, as well as for cable up there. So those are, you know, ran by city government, and they're nonprofit. We also have rural electric co-ops, which are owned by the customers. The members own the co-op, and those are also nonprofit. So municipal utilities, on average, have a lower price than the investor-owned utilities. So there are benefits.
Well, obviously. Would it ever be possible for the city of Madison to just buy MG&E out?
Yes, it is. Legally, technically, it is doable. It is not a small, easy thing to do.
No, I can't imagine.
So it takes some real commitment. But they are doing this very thing in Boulder, Colorado, and the laws of Wisconsin allow it as well. So this is called municipalization, and the city basically buys out the utility and forms a nonprofit utility instead.
You know, a year or so ago, you put me in touch with somebody who'd written a book who was coming to Madison, who there were some interesting things going where communities had really taken charge of their power and their energy future. How were those communities doing since then?
Yeah, that was Ben Paulos who wrote that Empowered book. And it looked at Madison, Boulder, Colorado, and Minneapolis. Things have been progressing in each of those places since he wrote that book about a year ago. So in Minneapolis, they have this clean energy partnership where the utilities are sitting down with city leadership, and they're actually developing and proposing joint programs. So like energy efficiency programs, for example, which is one thing we would really like to see MGE do, launch a new energy efficiency program. Even better if they can partner with the city or the county and do those things jointly. So they're doing stuff like that in Minneapolis.
Similar to a well-tuned automobile, a guitar requires the same level of attention to perform at its very best. No matter how expensive your guitar may be, we will treat you and your instrument with the utmost respect. Call 920-723-1733 or visit jeffsguitar.com. Jeff's Guitar Clinic in Fort Atkinson. We love guitars.
Mitch Bry with us, Repower Madison, as you're listening at slysoffice.com. Mitch, tell me what's going on with the Madison Common Council voting on a 100% renewable energy goal.
Oh, yeah. There is so much going on in Madison and Dane County on clean energy. It's unbelievable. So this resolution is to adopt a goal of 100% renewable energy for the city of Madison. That includes community-wide setting that goal and also more directly city operations. The resolution will also allocate up to $250,000 to use to develop a plan. So they'd probably bring some consultants in, work with city staff to really look at what dates are feasible to get city operations to 100% renewable energy and sort of how to do it. That plan would come back to city council then in about a year.
Do you get the feeling that you have real partners in the city with this?
Yeah, I haven't heard of anyone who's really against this yet, actually. Now, I'm not keeping track, but there have been some news articles written about it, and every comment on it has been positive and supportive. So it seems like the city's really, realizes how important it is to address climate change, but also realizes the benefits that come with leadership in clean energy, because jobs are coming in, this technology is just exploding. So if we can be sort of a hub for that sort of innovation, everyone loves it.
So you've got a whole schedule of things coming up with this, whether it be the Water Utility Board, Board of Estimates, Common Council. What's all going to happen at these different events?
Yeah, so the main one is Common Council. It's expected to go to Common Council for a vote on March 21st. And, of course, they meet at City Hall, room 201. That'll begin at about 6:30 on March 21st. But folks can contact their alders ahead of time. It'll also be at those other committees, the Water Utility Board and Board of Estimates. And it could change, people can amend it, refer it to other committees. But in all the other committees it's been through so far, it's received tremendous support. So they'll vote on it. It'll move to the next committee. And if all goes well, it'll be at city council. And the alders will have a chance to really show their leadership and put Madison on that path to 100% clean energy.
Under your purview of what you're working with Repower Madison, is water a major component in Madison Water Utility?
Madison Water Utility is one of the largest users of energy.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes a lot of sense that this resolution would go before them. And there's a really large water and energy nexus that lots of communities are realizing. When you conserve water, you save energy and you save money. So, and beyond the basic idea that water is life, this whole sustainability picture absolutely includes water as a crucial element of our lives.
Madison Water Utility, way ahead of the game years ago, making sure that a lot of lead pipes were removed in Madison. That was a good thing.
Yeah.
But Madison Water Utility is going to be losing one of its biggest customers in March when Oscar Mayer pulls out. Do you think that's going to cause problems as far as customers and for them being able to expend money in future energy savings?
Yeah, Oscar Mayer was a huge customer for the utilities, huge presence in the community, a lot of people employed there, so that's going to have a big hit. People are talking about what they might do with that site, and I'm pretty optimistic. I'm pretty hopeful that they'll find a really good use for it. It's a big chunk of land, really excellent access to the highway. Transportation is readily available right there. I've heard, people talk about making that into a rail station. I've also, sort of a hub with its access to the airport and the highways. I've also heard folks talk about, ask whether that could be used as a factory, basically, to produce solar panels. I know they've got lunch meat machinery in there right now. but if we can produce that kind of stuff locally, they're going to find a great use for that site.
Let me ask you one more question about how MG&E got a bad score from you. How did they not help in the expansion of broadband?
Actually, MG&E's, yeah, so let me explain this a little bit. There was a proposal at the Public Service Commission basically to develop these new focus on energy programs that are connected to supporting expanded broadband in rural parts of the state. So MG&E's actions on that case, we actually supported. MG&E submitted comments basically saying that focus on energy should be used to reduce energy bills. That should be the primary use of the money that's sitting in focus on energy. So we agree with that. We're worried about these programs and how the money would be used to subsidize internet bills. So the Public Service Commission did move forward and is developing these programs that will hand money over to internet service providers. But MG&E did submit comments opposing that action. So we were glad to see MG&E do that.
All right. All right, let's reiterate what you have coming up, what you'd like to accomplish by having people come down to the library on Monday.
We'd love to see people out. The forum starts at 7 o'clock on Monday, but we're going to have snacks out, some chocolates at 6:30. Central Library on Mifflin Street there. And we're going to have a number of speakers. We're going to go over what Dane County is doing, which includes convening a Climate Change Action Council. We're going to have some discussion about the City of Madison 100% renewable energy goal that is winding its way through City Council. We're going to talk about steps that the utilities have made, compare those to the city and county, and wrap it all up with a nice call to action. So we'll have some fun Valentine's Day cards there that people can fill out and, you know, send a belated little Valentine's Day card along.
Do you have a website people can go to?
RepowerMadison.org.
Simple enough. Mitch Bry from Repower Madison, thank you for your due diligence, and keep MG&E on their toes. And hopefully Mr. Keebler will know who you are soon enough. He probably does already, I'm guessing.
Well, would love to hear from him.
By the way, it's very hard for me to say Mr. Keebler without thinking of those elves. I don't know why, but I just that's an amazing name for a CEO. Mitch, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, Sly.
All right, Mitch Bry with Repower Madison. Sly'sOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers.
Sly'sOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.